The topic of definition of death is one of great importance in both the halachic and scientific realms. This podcast intends to provide a general overview of the topic and the various sources relating to it, but is by no means a complete discussion on definition of death. Precisely defining the moment of death has various impacts. There are rituals preceding burial, the tahara or purification process, that can only begin once the person has died. Once death has occurred, a kohen would not be permitted to remain in the room of a non-relative. Another potential consequence relates to yibum and chalitza, in which a person would be obligated in yibum once death occurs. Because of these issues, as well as numerous others, there has been much rabbinic debate relating to the definition of death and the role that brain death plays in contemporary definitions of death. So let's look at our sources. The Mishnah in Ohelot states that a person does not transmit impurity until he dies, and additionally, that decapitation would cause the transmission of impurity, even if there isn't cessation of bodily movement. From this source, we can establish two fundamental principles utilized in defining the moment of death. The first principle is that cessation of bodily movement is generally utilized in determining death. And the second is that decapitation would be considered indicative of death, even if there is continued bodily movement. So now that we have our two principles, let's look at the Gemara and Yoma. The Gemara and Yoma discusses the case of a person who is potentially trapped under fallen debris on Shabbat, and is unclear whether he is still alive. The Gemara says that one must attempt to rescue this person and determine whether he is still alive. Try to save them. The Gemara ultimately concludes that one must remove enough rubble to determine if the person is still breathing, but need not determine if there is still a heartbeat. So this source provides us with an additional factor in defining death, one that wasn't present in the Mishnah, which is respiration. However, do take note that heartbeat is not a factor here, it's not a consideration when defining death. The Rambam in Hilchot Shabbat cites this case, and concludes that respiration is the deciding factor for definition of death. The Shulchan Aruch comes to a similar conclusion, that one must check until the person's nose, when one would be digging them out of the rubble, to determine whether or not he is alive. One must check until the nose to determine whether or not there is respiration. This view is examined by the Chatam Sofer, who cites the need for a cessation of bodily movement as well as breathing. However, the Chatam Sofer adds the need for cessation of heartbeat, a factor that had not previously been discussed in halachic literature. So, now that we have these sources, we have to look at this topic in terms of the advent of organ donation, particularly with heart transplants, which, in order for the heart to work at maximum capacity, it requires the heart's removal while it is still beating. Transplants generally require a very short time frame between when the organ is removed and then transplanted into another body. And so therefore, when the transplants were starting out, there was no solution for this issue of precisely defining the moment of death so the organ could be taken out while it was still in what one could say was a living person based on their heartbeat. In the mid to late 1960s, Harvard Medical School organized a commission to define the line between persistent vegetative state, known as coma, and death. What emerged from this was a broad analysis of the topic. Throughout history, there have been various definitions of death. The first is the departure of the soul from the body, in which the locus of death here is unclear. The second is the irreversible cessation of circulation of blood and air. Death can therefore be discerned by the cessation of the function of the heart and the lungs. The Harvard Commission then thereby proposed a third definition, which is the irreversible cessation of central control over the entire body, which came to be known as whole brain death. The focus here is not on a particular organ, but on the loss of neurological control over the entire body, as discerned by the total absence of movement, reflex actions, total non-awareness, and a flat EEG. If tests that determined these characteristics were then repeated twice in 24 hours and continued to manifest similar results, the person could therefore be declared dead, despite continued heartbeat. The earliest response in halachic literature is found in the responsa of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who stated that a transplant based on this definition of whole brain death would be considered a double homicide, therefore killing the victim and the potential donor. Rav Waldenberg, as well as Rav J. David Bleich, were both against whole brain death, based on the view that continued heartbeat indicated the presence of a soul, which therefore shows that the body is still living. A dissenting view is proposed by Rav Yehuda Gershuni, who states that whole brain death is a perfectly acceptable definition according to halacha. Similar to decapitation, whole brain death involves a severance of the brain from the body, and Rav Gershuni does not distinguish between physical decapitation, like in the Mishnah, and cessation of electrical function in the brain in relation to cessation of physical control over the body, meaning that he essentially equates the two situations, and so separate cessation of bodily movement, whether or not it's based on decapitation or the brain's function stop it ceasing to work, would be in essence equal. This position is adopted by Rav Tendler, and who states that the halachic definition of death is best seen through the Harvard criteria, since it utilizes autonomous breathing as a means of defining death, which is what we had seen earlier in halachic literature, as opposed to heartbeat, which had never been utilized in rabbinic literature when establishing a definition of death. On the other hand, there is the view of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik that the community as a whole should not accept whole brain death as a halachic definition of death, because there is a fine line between utilizing whole brain death and higher brain death, and adopting this view would lead to the risk of killing more people who are still halachically defined as alive. However, he didn't speak to whether there are exceptions to this case. Overall, there are a variety of views, and this leads to much controversy on the topic. There's been a lot written on the subject, and this is a small overview of the topic, which ultimately comes into play in both the halachic and medical realms.